Here we go. Dragging into the Midwest. Welcome back to the ACC Basketball Degenerates.
Wait, that was you? That was you just literally dragging in to announce the episode.
Here we are. We're back. Hello, hello. Welcome. Which is my intro. I'm just going to keep rewinding that over and over and over again. I'm going to find that clip from last year.
Yeah, anyway, please do.
Luke Neer with you, your host, alongside Vegas Mike, who you're listening to right now, Taylor Pilkington as well, to break down the final, the slummiest, the least interesting region, unless you have an Iowa future ticket like I do to make the Final Four at plus 1,100, something like that, plus 1,000. So let's begin with Kansas, who's a boring one seed. This is a Kansas team we've seen many years. I actually had them in my preseason Final Four along with Baylor, Gonzaga, and Purdue. I've altered that Final Four after watching the real bracket be revealed. Oh, God. And I feel like Kansas is just going to ruin all my dreams in this bracket, unfortunately. Even though I love how I was playing, I think the Murray brothers are outstanding. I mean, I think Chris is actually really underrated on this team. And they're better defensively than previous Iowa teams. They're much better than the Garza squads. And Bohannon has actually come on. I'm impressed with his play this year compared to last year, where I thought he laid an egg for a good portion of the season. He shot them out of some games. And you've got McCaffrey and the old man. What's there not to like? He's got a huge cabbage on his head. You know, he's Fran. He runs his offense. He lives and dies by it. He loves it more than his son, probably. Which is not the case with the Bayheims. Actually, maybe it is the case with the Bayheims. Do you think Jim would choose the zone over Buddy and Jimmy after this year? It's possible. I could be wrong.
No. But last podcast you said Bayheim means family.
Yeah.
Come on. What are you doing? We can't say that. Joe, what are they going to do? Just cut Joe Girard off? They're not going to do that. No. He's part of the family.
Listen,
did you see Bayheim excuse Buddy for like punching him in the stomach? You know, that sort of thing.
I know. Him too.
I would do the same with my son. I'd be like, he was asking for it. So, you know.
Taylor, what's the quote from last year? This guy's good, but
I love my son, baby.
Yes, yes, indeed. That's the theme of this region for me. That's why I'm going with the McCaffreys. But we can go top to bottom, obviously. The bottom is really not that interesting, but we'll get there eventually. You might be able to squeeze out some value. Kansas in round one. I'm not going to go on either side. So are we going to use our veto power on 116 spreads and just not really talk about this game?
Yeah, I like Kansas. Let's do Kansas.
Yeah.
Move on.
Yeah. San Diego State, Creighton. Ugh. Ooh. You hate the Big East this year. Do you hate Creighton in this matchup?
I don't. This is the one Big East team who I'm willing to go with. San Diego State, if you look at their style, they like to kind of get out on the perimeter. They like to flow. They like to vibe. And, you know, Creighton's going to vibe right with them. And, you know, Creighton's found a way to light it up. It's a little bit indescribable what McDermott is doing. It's not the same stuff that he was running last year with Zagorowski and the rest of that team we grew to love so much, even though they underwhelmed and disappointed, only making the Sweet 16. They're not doing that flare at the top of the key screen, which comes out of nowhere as much. So I don't really know how to describe Creighton this year from what I've watched of them, but I think they vibe with San Diego State. That's a really weird way to put it, but it's late, guys. And does that make any sense? You know how San Diego State is?
I mean, San Diego State is just, they're exactly the same as they are every year.
Yeah, and they got bounced last year easily.
It's this defensive juggernaut that just assaults the senses. You know, there's no grace. They don't, you know, it's all drum and bass. You know, I mean, I need strings. I need strings in basketball. Okay. That's what makes everything go. And San Diego State doesn't have that. It's just an assault. That being said, they're going to destroy Creighton. They're going to destroy Creighton. I don't think it's going to be even close. I think finally San Diego State gets a little bit of a reprieve in the NCAA tournament. I think they for lack of a better word, just strangle, you know, Creighton in this game. There's just no way. San Diego State is too experienced. They've choked out many a team before. I mean, I don't see it here. I don't see it here.
I liked how you zagged right there. You really built that one up and then turned on a dime. Vegas Mike style. I wouldn't expect anything else. I look forward to you going to the window and rushing for Blue Jays money on, when is this game? I think it's
Thursday.
Yeah, this is Thursday.
Thursday at like 2.
Yeah, you'll be at that window getting Blue Jays money. Trust me.
Oh, without a doubt. Already have it.
Taylor?
I mean, I'll go San Diego State here. Neither of these teams has a great offense, but San Diego State has a better defense. And I don't trust Creighton. I mean, they're going to turn the ball over a ton.
I don't trust Alex O'Connell.
San Diego State is too, but like they punish people more for it than Creighton does. So I just, yeah. There's a little more upside there for San Diego State.
Alex O'Connell is going to torture me in this tournament, and he's the only guy I'm worried about as a saboteur, but I will still take Creighton. I'll go down with that ship. I'll ride what they did in the Big East tournament, and I'm not all in on the Mountain West. I know, Mike, you think they're better than the ACC. I'm going to disagree with that, and I don't like the way Wyoming's playing. Boise could get knocked out early against that Memphis team, so yeah. I'll just say no. No thanks. Okay.
No thanks. All right.
Here we go. To Iowa and Richmond. Taylor should lead this conversation since he resides in the city of Richmond. I was about to say the great city. I caught myself. I'd say solid city of Richmond. Please.
Yeah.
Great city. Please. Come on. Give us some credit.
Taylor and I have seen Richmond play a few times in person. You've seen them a couple times, Taylor, but we also went and saw them play in Annapolis. So you should be pretty familiar with this Richmond team. What do you think this year?
I mean, if past results can be judged, Chris Mooney earned himself a 20-year contract extension by making the tournament this year. I mean, I think they're going to lose to Iowa. I'm seeing the line at like what, 10 points right now, maybe nine and a half. I mean, they really came on in the A-10 tournament, and I kind of think the A-10 has been a little undervalued this entire year. I mean, remember the start of the year when everybody thought St. Bonaventure, the exact same team, was going to be, you know, the world beater, and they kind of just like faded to third or fourth in the A-10.
Yeah.
I think Richmond kind of, I'm kind of going to ride them a little bit. I think I would take them to cover here. I would take them plus 10. They hold on to the ball really well. It's a super experienced team. It's basically the exact same team from a couple years ago, last year, that you saw. They played a lot of big games. So I'll take them to cover here.
I just don't think they have an answer for Murray. I don't see anybody chasing him around. I don't see anybody guarding him in the block. He's just too quick, too skilled. On this Iowa team, they're going to be able to squeeze off their threes. Davidson was able to do it for the most part. Yeah, I'll take Iowa, and I will lay those points. I think they're just too good. They are an unstoppable force right now.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I think the only thing that's holding it at 10 points instead of it being 15 is pace of play for Richmond. I think they're just thinking there will be too few possessions. I mean, Richmond even defensively is a little bit, you know, turnover dependent. To a certain degree, you know, when they do play defense, I watched them when I watched them play, you know, in Annapolis against Utah State. I watched them quit. I had never seen a team like actually quit on a basketball court before. And those old men of Richmond quit on that basketball court, you know, that team of 23-year-olds, you know, Grant Golden threw his bandana on the ground and he was done, you know, like, or whatever.
Was he wearing sleeves? I hope he was. How can you back a team with Greg Golden? They had their coronation. They won the A-10 tournament and
now
they just get to be bounced.
Right.
The run is over. It's already over. It stopped.
It's going to be
with the trophy presentation and the Moody extension. So let's move on.
Yeah, this is a team that you bet on in Richmond and then you immediately regret it. I've been here before. I've already been here. No, thank you.
All right, let's go to
story of my life, Mike. Come on.
The Jackrabbits and the Friars, maybe one of the most intriguing 4-13 matchups. I can't remember the last time we had so many of the basketball community, you know, on a 13 seed, but we're seeing it now. And Providence has been just a lightning rod of a team for discussion, for analytics, pro, against. Everybody's on different sides of the fence. I think more people are on the side of the fence that they were extremely lucky. But when they showed against Villanova, proved to me that, you know, they do have some talent. They do have standing. And it wasn't just a fluke that they won all these games. But, you know, I don't hate Providence. I'm not a hater. I'm not in that camp. But I just like South Dakota State. And I think they finally break through. This is the team they've been waiting for. You know, hopefully Mike Dobb will be in attendance. I hope he gets on the bench, for goodness sakes, just for, you know, he built a foundation and they've grown from it. And they've got shooters all over the place. Gosh, and they can just exploit you in so many different manners if we're looking at their offense. I mean, the offense they run is just flawless, trains on a track. They don't get flustered whatsoever. I don't think anything Providence can do defensively is going to be able to stop the flow of South Dakota State. And I'm on the Jackrabbits. I know it's going to be about, what, are we at a pick 'em yet? Has that much money come in?
I think it's still a 2-point line. So it's still 2 points for the Jackrabbits, plus two.
Yeah, I'll take plus two. I'll take money line. I mean, the winning streak is absurd. The Oral game was the last time they were scared, right? In overtime, you watched that game, didn't you? I watched the majority. I didn't make it through overtime, though, because I had another screen I had to pop up. I had another game to get to, unfortunately.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, this team can shoot. They can cut. They can curl really well, too. The curls for South Dakota State, something to pay attention to. Anyway.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
I mean, I feel like so much has been said about this South Dakota State matchup. You know, I guess people are like, hey, I only listen to one podcast. what are you talking about? It's like, it's 2.5 hours long. You better talk about, you know, what it is that they do well. But it's essentially like, are they the highest scoring team in the country? If they're not, it must be very close.
They're number one in effective field goal percentage, and they're number one in 3-point shooting.
Yeah, I mean, they're just a run and gun fun team to watch. And you know, if you've watched Providence over the past, month and a half, you know, ever since that game that they won at home, what was it that they were playing? Maybe it was a Villanova game that they even lost at home, where the whole crowd was totally hyped and, you know, the roof was about to blow off the building. And then
that was the Villanova game.
And then they come and then they can't beat Butler. And then they lose to they beat Butler in overtime. Then they struggle to beat a struggling Xavier team. It's just, I don't know. I mean, just from a perspective, the wheels are falling off at Providence, but I don't feel like a lot of other people see that. I feel like they see a team with only 5 losses and losses to only good teams. I think South Dakota State comes in and I think they roll. I think they win by double digits.
Okay, Taylor. Are you going to come to the defense of our friend Ed Cooley?
Losses to only good teams, except Virginia.
Right.
Way early in the season, though, different teams. I think, you know, we kind of have been texting off air about like how we would rank some of these teams, these seeds. I rank Providence as one of my lowest of those top set of seeds. I think they just have, they're on the downswing from where they were. They peaked too early.
They're the worst four. Illinois is close, but they're the worst four.
Yeah. And South Dakota State is gonna score points. Like they no matter who they're playing, you know, they scored like almost 90 points against Alabama really early in the season. They're gonna score points. Providence is gonna score points too. And I'll trust if South Dakota State's gonna get into a boat race with them, I'll go with them for the upset here.
My question of the Midwest is, can you boat race Iowa, or is that exactly what Iowa wants? Because that's a matchup which is looming, which is going to be phenomenal. And
oh, so good.
I don't know what the antidote for Auburn, for Iowa is right now. My heart tells me it's somebody who's going to knuckle bust and not try to boat race him, like South Dakota State. But we'll talk about that momentarily. To LSU at Iowa State, what a lovely affair we have here. Right, gentlemen?
Mm-hmm. Two teams in absolute free fall without a parachute. I mean, that's how I see it. That's how I see LSU and Iowa State. I mean, LSU obviously, you know, dealing with Will Wade and all of his, I mean, he's just, what a mess. I mean, if you watch that Arkansas game, like the end of that first half where he got teed up and then he got teed up and then was storming off the court and yelling at his players, like throwing a total fit at his players like a child, and nobody like nobody even on the team looking at him. It was just a great way for Will Wade to go out. You know, it's just like the Will Wade era is over.
To go out. You know, I actually just accepted who he was at the end of the line, and I kind of embraced it, you know. He likes being evil. You got to respect that, don't you? To a certain extent.
Right.
Anyway.
Right. Yeah, to a certain extent. This LSU team, though, is pretty interesting. I mean, I feel like every single time that we get into the NCAA tournament and I watch LSU play, they're going to steamroll Iowa State. Iowa State, you know, doesn't have a hope in this game, in my opinion. They, you know, if there are teams that can't find their way, Iowa State is totally lost. I mean, right now they're just totally lost. But every time I get into LSU, you know, they're going to blow out Iowa State. I'm going to be like, oh my gosh, how did I not have LSU in the Elite Eight? They're going to win every game in this poor, you know, bottom of this Midwest bracket. And then they're immediately going to lose to Wisconsin or Colgate. You know, like there's just no middle ground with LSU. As soon as they lure you into have you believe, they immediately take everything from you.
I like the pod though for them, right? Taylor.
Oh yeah. It's a perfect
pod.
The pod
is phenomenal. Yeah. It's Wisconsin and Colgate on the other side.
I mean, Johnny Davis, who needs Johnny Davis?
Yeah. Especially a limping injured Johnny Davis. He didn't look
like
he was back to his normal self when they bowed out of the Big Ten tournament. I mean, he was awful. You're looking at his shooting percentage. He was not good at all.
And I mean, the only team that's worse at shooting than LSU is Wisconsin. They're a terrible shooting team.
Yeah.
I mean, which everybody's like, you know, you always think like, oh, Wisconsin, like, oh, they're going to shoot you out of the gym. They are an awful shooting team this year. So in LSU, man, they can – they're going to lock up that whole bottom of this division. I mean, they've already beaten Auburn, I think.
If they can not turn the ball over, that's the formula. But there's about a 10% chance they're not going to turn the ball over. That's the problem with LSU. You've just got to roll with it. You know,
they're
going
to turn the ball over.
I know.
It's
I said there's at least there's a 10% chance in my mind that they play a semi-clean game. But maybe they don't want a clean game. Maybe they just want chaos and bodies flying. I think they thrive in chaos and in transition. So
That first game against Iowa State is going to be chaos. Both those teams are.
I love it. That's great.
They both force turnovers at a very high rate, and they both turn the ball over at a very high rate. And not only that, both of them are like bottom 10% in KenPom of non-steal turnovers.
Oh,
so
I know.
Oh, just like just throwing it in. Just throwing
to
it
the stands.
These are your two unforced errors teams. Like, this is going to be wild. You're going to see like four possessions that happen in 15 seconds where nobody scores, that sort of thing.
I just think Iowa State's going to turn it over at an incredible rate as well, because LSU has some of the best hands in the country. I mean, those guys are picking pockets left and right. They're phenomenal at picking pockets. That's how they thrive. And, you know, as much as there was a narrative out there, oh, Xavier Pinson's out, you know, maybe LSU, they're better without him. I didn't think so at all. I thought when he was out, that's when they really suffered in the middle of the season, when they went on that losing skid. Arkansas, Alabama, Tennessee, they beat A&M, then they lose TCU, Mississippi, Vanderbilt. They were in free fall without Pinson. He came back and started to right the ship a little bit. So that's what I'm hanging on to with my hope. I know they played a pretty poor non-conference and they got inflated earlier on in the season, but I'm riding LSU, man, all the way to the Sweet 16.
Yeah. I mean, the difference between those two teams is Iowa State actually kind of wants to play a little slow. They want to slow the game down on offense a little bit. And LSU is happy to make it like just a back and forth sprint fest. So that makes me feel confident taking LSU.
Fair enough. We've got a consensus on LSU. Interesting. Against the dying Iowa State Cyclones. Finally, we've got two more games to go to. I don't really have a whole lot to say about Colgate and Wisconsin. I think this game has been discussed way too much in previews and, you know, general talking head shows right after the selection show. But Wisconsin limping a little bit down the home stretch. Colgate's a team who does shoot the three ball really well. I mean, they, what, put up 100 on Syracuse or something like that early on in the season, which was a sign. And then they dipped, and then they had a little bit of a resurgence late. It's a team who has NCAA tournament experience. We remember they played Arkansas and had a lead at, I don't know, early on in the second half at the under 16, and then it fell apart because that's what Arkansas generally does. There might be a little bit of value here with the number. I would not take this team outright. I would not toy with the money line. I think in the end, you know, Brad Davison will pull out a rabbit from his butt and something like that. Wisconsin will get a bank shot to win it like they did. And what game did they hit back-to-back banks? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah.
To close it out.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I forget who, but yeah.
I would take the points in this situation, though. I just don't trust Wisconsin.
What's the line? 10 or 12, probably?
Is that right? Seven.
Seven?
Is that low? Oh, man. I thought it was nine.
Yeah. Well,
never
it's
mind.
It's not low.
Now I have to change my mind.
Yeah, it's seven because, you know, Wisconsin's one of the worst shooting teams in the country. But and they're just thinking like, oh, Colgate's going to hit enough threes to keep it close, you know.
The back door will be open in this game.
Yeah. I mean, I think Wisconsin is not playing its best basketball. But I don't think it's – I mean, this team lost to Pitt. I mean, I'm not saying there's a transitive rule here, but I do have some morals. I'll take Wisconsin to seven. I think that's enough. That's enough. They're good enough down low.
Yeah. Wisconsin, I mean, Colgate is the second best three-point shooting team in the nation.
This is really tough for me. I would stay away from this game. But you know what? I'm going to go with it's seven.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm going to be different. You know what? I'm going to go Colgate. I'll stick with it. I thought it was nine. It's seven. Let's roll on to the final game of our lengthy four-part preview show. Running on fumes. It's almost midnight.
Penultimate game. I think.
Oh, gosh, you're right. We've got this pod to break down. This is actually an interesting pod, though. We might have to spend a little bit of time here. Our Miami Hurricanes repping the old Atlantic Coast Conference. Magusta Yin Wong and Charlie Moore, who's been through a lot, as we mentioned last podcast, in his career.
Yeah.
Going up against a USC team who doesn't have great guard play, but does have the bigs. Mobley in the interior and company. Do guards win in March? That's a question for this game. Mike, we'll begin with you.
Oh my gosh, I love Miami in this game. No one else does. I cannot find a person that supports me in Miami taking this game. Maybe Taylor will, just because, you know, he's a Miami guy. But I mean, look, USC has great rim protection, right? I mean, Mobley is down there. He's going to alter shots. But you know what? Miami doesn't need to get all the way to the rim. They have three excellent mid-range shooters in Charlie Moore, Isaiah Wong, and Cam Magusty. I think two out of the three of them go off. The other part is that, you know, Miami is a team with very active hands for their guards.
Oh, they're phenomenal. USC, yeah. That's how they beat Duke at Carolyn in game one between the two teams.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And I just think that they win the turnover battle against a USC and against these kind of very weak USC guards. Boogie Ellis, you know, liked him at Memphis. He's not really doing it for me here. I mean, USC is just built around size and glass pounding. And I think that Miami's cooked up a little something special there. And I believe in them. I think they have the best chance out of any ACC team to make it to the second weekend. And I like them in this matchup against USC.
Taylor,
I mean, yeah, you've convinced me.
That's a great case.
As my son said in my proudest moment as a father, Miami, what about your Ammy? yeah, I will take Miami here.
Second time you told that joke, and I think there's a part of me laughing on the beginning of the East bracket with that joke, and now it's come full circle. It's like those movies where they show the ending first, and now you see how it all came to be. Mm-hmm. You know,
if you have interacted with me in any aspect of my life in the last week, you've heard me tell that joke like 12 times, and be like, "Oh, you know, my kids are like amazingly clever."
Oh man, that's funny.
I'll finish Luke, off this
tell
conversation.
Tell me why we're wrong.
You're not wrong, and I'll tell you why. We've got some troubling results from USC down the home stretch of their schedule. This is a team who went to double overtime with Oregon State. One of the worst teams, maybe the worst ever team I've ever witnessed in Power 5 basketball. Georgetown gave them a run for their money. It's between the two. I'm not sure which one this year, but that should never happen. They eked out a win over Oregon. Congrats on the road. Then they got drilled by Arizona at home by 20 points. Mm-hmm. That's not a good look. They lost to UCLA coming down the home stretch, and then they lost to them again in the tournament. So I just don't like the tail end for USC. And I also think that, you know, last year was their shot. That was their run. That's when Andy, you know, turned into a sexy coach again all the way after those Dunk City days and, you know, stabilized whatever his future was in Southern California. I just don't see the motivation from USC. I'm going to ride with you guys. Give me Miami. Give me shooting. Give me shot making. Give me shot creators down the home stretch. I think it's going to be a really close game, though. And I'll take Charlie Moore and Wong making shots and McGusty hopefully getting to the rim. Hopefully he can slash in this one.
Nice.
What could possibly go wrong? You know what? It's another consensus. It's a gorgeous consensus, though. I mean, how do you not love the Watsko Center? One of my favorite arenas, and nobody will understand why, because people don't have an eye for aesthetics and lighting and angles and colors. So, you know what? It's not them. It is them. Auburn, Jacksonville State. Auburn certainly has the venom going against them. Is this just what Bruce Pearl needs? The orange man on the sidelines to motivate Walker Kessler and the erratic bowling ball guards they have.
Right.
Johnson, especially.
It almost feels weird to have an Auburn team this good that doesn't have any guards, really.
Yeah.
You know, their guard play is so poor. Jacksonville State's going to challenge them a little bit. You know, I think they're going to turn them over a lot, but they have too much down low. Jabari Smith is a fantastic shot maker. He's a worse version of Keegan Murray, but he's pretty close.
That's a great comp. Well done there, sir. Man, you're speaking to me today, Mike. You really are.
They will remind you of each other when they're out on the basketball court, but he's worse. But yeah, I think they get by Jacksonville State here, and I don't think they cover. And then I think that they have real problems with Miami. I think it's a coin flip whether or not they beat Miami or not, just because of the guard play. And I know that you don't believe that, Luke. You know, I think that you think the bigs of Walker Kessler and Jabari Smith and are too much. And I don't think it matters to Miami. I think they slice and dice on the perimeter. I think they turn over Auburn, which they've been prone to do in their losses this year, especially to Tennessee and Florida. I like them this year. I mean, they turned the ball over 17 times against Florida. I could easily see that happening against this this Miami team. They're not going to be able to bring it up the floor.
It's
Charlie Moore. You know what Charlie's seen? You know what Charlie's seen?
This man saw Konzo Martin, and then he saw Dave Lado.
Yeah, he outlasted both of them.
And then he saw the vision, which was Jim Larranaga.
Yeah, he finally found a warm blanket in the cold night.
Yeah, what a vision it was.
But yeah, those are my takes on Auburn. Who you guys have for the Elite Eight and Final Four for this bracket?
Well, I'll go ahead and go first. I have Iowa taking out Kansas. I'm going all in, I believe, and it is a scary matchup for multiple reasons. Mainly, I could see Kansas getting a lead. I don't want to see the Jayhawks out in front. I know Iowa has the scoring to catch up, but when Kansas is playing from the lead, they can be so lethal, especially in those white UDs. There's something about them when they're at home or, you know, the higher seed in the Big 12 tournament. That's what happened. Texas Tech was scraping and clawing. They just could not get over that hump once Kansas had that lead at the end. So it worries me, but I'm still picking Iowa to go through and beat them. And then at the bottom half, you're not going to believe this, guys, but, you know, I have a rematch of a game which was sloppy, turnover prone, up and down, transition, madness, early Auburn huge lead. It was about an 18-2 game. LSU climbs all the way back, cuts it to about 4-5. Auburn cruises down the home stretch. I've got Auburn LSU. It's a rematch. That's what I have on that side. Wow. And I have I'm sticking with Auburn and then Iowa over Auburn.
Oh, man. Congratulations, Luke. You got through your bracket. You know, we're going to
it was a journey.
It was a journey. Congratulations. You've done it. Mine's a little different on this side. This, I think the Midwest is wide open. It could be anyone. Mine's going to be pretty boring, though. I'm going to go Kansas, Wisconsin. I think Davis maybe becomes healthy in the next 4 days. Wisconsin team is bad. They could easily lose to LSU. I already hate the pick.
That's great. Phenomenal.
I'm changing it to Kansas, LSU. LSU in the Final Four. Can't wait.
Let's go, baby.
Yep, there you go. All right, who you got, Taylor?
I should have gone first. Iowa over Auburn. Iowa moves on.
Yeah, Iowa.
Wow. Kevin Nickelberry, man. Let's ride him. We believe Kevin.
Iowa's the better team. That Kansas game's going to be so hard. I just can't imagine Bill Self losing that game.
Oh, it's going to be magical. It's going to be March. We're going to dream of it, and we're going to roll with this. Boys, well done. That was about, I don't know how many hours. It felt like three. It might have been four, but we cranked out four episodes for the people, for the masses. Yeah. We're working hard for the people and their families this time of year. We're the ACC basketball degenerates. Any parting words? Or should we cue the music? I don't know.
Everybody pick a national champion.
Right now?
Arizona, Luke already said Arizona's for him.
It's not difficult.
Taylor, who you got?
Your Final Four is going to be Houston, Iowa, Gonzaga, and Kentucky.
Okay.
And it's going to be Gonzaga over Houston in the championship.
Wow. Look at yourself.
Two Final Fours in a row for Kelvin, huh?
Yeah.
That's a Taylor selection for sure.
You know, after years of being questioned, after all the doubters, you know, about the Calipari system, he finally turns it around this year and wins his second national championship. Finally.
Really turns it around.
Finally, the transfers pay off. I mean, this team, did they even make the tournament a couple of years ago? I feel like they didn't.
They did not.
They shouldn't have if they did.
Not last year, no.
This has been a bad team for a while. It's kind of weird to say. They've not been good. This year, Cal turns it around. He got lucky with the draw. I think he cruises in, and I think he walks right into the championship game, and I think they win.
So
beat Arizona.
Let me get this straight and on the record. Vegas Mike Jaffe is picking a Champions Classic team to be the champion. Just unbelievable. This podcast. What this you listened to over the course of a year. What you heard last episode just thrown out the window. Look what you did. Well, it's too late. I'm not giving you another opportunity.
Look at what I've done. Look at what I did to my boy.
I also have the Kentucky Wildcats in the Final Four. I have them playing the Texas Tech Red Raiders. I have Big Blue Nation also advancing to my final, where they will lose to Arizona after Arizona is able to outlast the firepower of the Murray brothers and Iowa. So Arizona over Kentucky in a Wildcat affair. And that'll do it.
All right.
See you, folks. Until next time.